Would you introduce yourselves, please?
Yes. Full names, what are we looking for?
I'm looking for whatever you give me.
Cool. I am Ben from Jukebox the Ghost.
I am Tommy from Jukebox the Ghost. I can give a little bit of the beginning story. The three of us met at tap dancing camp. It was around 1997. And Ben, you were a junior instructor at the time, I believe.
I was a bit of a prodigy in the tap dancing world. And if you think about it, you know, piano is a rhythm instrument. It's a percussion instrument. And we're sort of a ground up sort of the band. And so you start tapping, and then your fingers start moving.
And as a double leg amputee, I did at tap dancing camp. I wore tap shoes on my hands, and there was a special program. But I was the best there was.
My leg, and this is not being dirty, although it could be, my leg is now about 64 inches long from being pulled. Tap dance, but I'm going to do a little taste test here. What was the name of the tap dancing camp?
What, the South Cleveland, the South Cleveland Institute of Tap Dance.
The South Cleveland, so that's the S-C-I-O-I, which is squee.
S-T-I. S-D.
Tap dancing camp.
Tap
dancing camp. Thank you for that.
You're welcome.
That's one of the better ones I've heard.
Well, it's one of the truest stories we can tell.
Yeah. And he's looking me straight in the eye.
Well,
there you go.
You don't get this far as a band if you can't.
If you can't talk about tap dancing camp. Okay, so everybody relentlessly tours, but you guys are nuts. What, 200 shows in a year or so?
We've done 200. We usually err on the side of 150, but either way.
Is that why
way.
Your piano keys are kind of got that little indentation
yeah,
on
yeah,
them?
Exactly, and my fingers as well. I have no finger fingerprints anymore.
No nails, no nothing. I have to go right to the video for somebody, because I know that was done in 5 takes, correct? And it was done live. I just want to know about the casting session. You know, that's what I want to know about is, because you did have a few guys in there, but you didn't waste any time finding dancers that were, let's see, what words should we use? Come on, pick a word. I know you can walk down the streets of Williamsburg and just go, you, and you, but...
You pick them out. It's so hard for me not to just keep talking about the dance studio, the tap dance studio. But, in truth, we found... beautiful people that would look good and make us.
Did you do a casting session?
They did actually. We didn't get to see it. We knew the director's choreographer, all that sorts of other stuff, and they found the people. Our only demand was as pretty as possible. Talent was not an issue.
Wait a minute. They could dance. Those girls could dance. They could dance.
They're all alumni of the South Cleveland Tap Dancing Institute, so we knew that there was a certain threshold of quality that they would meet.
Heard that old 60s song, The World is a Circle Without Any Meaning? This is what you're doing to me here.
Well, this is how you started it out, though, you know.
Yeah, I know. It's my fault. I'm sorry. I do quite often. Swim in your own soup. They're playing the third stage, Swim in Your Own Soup, a little later today. Okay, now we're gonna get serious because Reed, who's my producer and hanging out today, knows this, that, you know, I'm feeling my mortality in a big way. My mom passed away in December, and I'm not trying to make you sad, but I listened to this album, and I know that a lot of the heart and soul of this album came out of a grandfather who passed away of lung cancer.
And Jesse's father passed away, actually, maybe 6 months ago now.
I've always loved, I am the biggest sucker for happy song, I should say, happy songs with desolate, sad, painful, just I wanna die lyrics. And you've nailed it on this album, have you not?
Well, I would certainly say so.
You've nailed it, because, I mean, it's kind of like, as you're singing I Want Somebody, as you're singing Safe Travels, if you actually start listening to the lyrics, you're the happiest, ready-to-kill-yourself person that ever lived.
We're both writing for the band, and we actually believe that no good pop music should be without its depth. You don't want all like happiness and pep all the time. And in making this record, like my grandfather passed away, Jesse's father's diagnosed with cancer, and he passed away maybe 4 months ago now. And so there were all these huge themes that we actually dealt with head on this time around on the record. And in the past, we always like skirted around it. There's always like, we did apocalyptic themes, like breakup themes. It was never like first person. And this time we sort of went for it head on. It seemed like the right time, right thing to do.
Yeah, and you really cheated. I'm sorry. I don't need to tell you in an interview that you cheated, but I know something. The strings section. is not really 52,000 strings, is it?
What? It is.
Come on, give it up. And you can't bring this back to the dancing school. What? How many people did you overdub in that string section?
Granted, it's a prerequisite for anyone at the Cleveland South Dance Institute to learn strings, but it was two players played over themselves, if that's what you're getting at. We did not have a room, we did not have a big orchestra at the same time, but for all...
Lush on a budget.
Yeah, is that exactly. But, I mean, they're fantastic players, both of them.
I'm not making fun. I'm just pointing it out because it's important that people know about rock and roll these days, that even though you jukebox the ghost and you're on Yep Rock and et cetera, you know.
Well, you know, another thing, like... You know, in the vocal doubles, the thing that happens on records, that's not actually two of me singing at the same time in the same room in the same place. I sing it and then I sing it over again.
You've bounced your way to New York. And that is, other than being hip and cool and groovy because you're from New York, it's a better place for music. I mean, you've got a Bowery Ballroom and you were able to sell out, right?
Yep. No, it's true. It's, I don't know. I like that. The thing about New York is that you can't live there and not, you know, hustle and, you know, work your ass off and all sorts of other stuff. So I like being part of a community of people that do that, that are, like, all hustling. And there's so many musicians, so many amazing touring musicians in the city. It's amazing.
So Letterman, I've been to many a taping of Letterman, and I've seen many a band on Letterman. And, you know, let's face it, you're the last 3.5 minutes of the show. You can't go over. If you're really lucky, he comes up to you, puts your arms around him, and says, "Great music, guys, thanks a lot." But we also know... that it's a way, not necessarily reach your target, but then it gets repurposed on YouTube and it does reach your target.
Yes.
So tell me your experience of that, because again, I was watching the look on your face as I was watching the clip this morning, and you were having fun.
But part of the funny thing about Letterman to me was that it wasn't like a lot of people that were new discovered us from Letterman, but it made relatives who thought that we were just in a joke band all of a sudden think that we were incredibly famous. So my grandmother, who previously, you know, probably kind of disapproved of my career as a rock musician, all of a sudden was bragging about me at the hair salon. So that was the biggest change to me, you know, is relatives thinking I'm famous.
That's, now there's a purpose in a lot of interviews I've never heard.
Well, it's true. Well, and the other thing I want to note is that we only found out about that 24 hours before we were watching it on TV. The night before we got the call, I was in Philly, they were in New York. We got to New York with the equipment like 4 in the morning, 8 a.m. We were at the Letterman Studios. Within 24 hours, we're watching ourselves on national television.
Was someone not able to show up and they said, "Oh, go these guys"?
I don't know, maybe Sir Paul canceled or something.
Yeah, Sir Paul canceled. So headlining versus opening. You know, you're now at that exact moment where you're still opening for other acts, you're still doing big festivals, which we'll talk about, but you're also headlining. So that's kind of an interesting dynamic. It's a change because you have to kind of change your psyche and say, wait a minute, they're actually coming for us.
Yeah, no, it makes a difference. And we've been doing much, much longer sets, which has been really satisfying.
That's kind of nice too, doing more than 20 or 30 minutes.
Yeah, it's like really pushing through it. And, you know, it's a totally different exercise, like winning over an audience and then playing for an audience that is already on your side, you know. So each have their struggles, but I think we've done both so much now. We've sort of figured it out, I guess.
So I know this has been covered, but you know, have you been almost thinking you have to be forced to change the name of the band to William Howard Taft?
I'm a little out of time.
Yeah, come on, go for it, buddy. It's a well-told story, but I have to cover it because it's a good one.
Well, so early on in our band's Facebook career, we were told to make a band Facebook page, and we were being pressured to write an actual bio. We didn't have one that was good. So I just copied the biography of William Howard Taft from Wikipedia and pasted it into our Facebook bio section. And it's just stuck ever since. And I think people would get upset now if we changed it.
Well, yeah, and you know what's really confusing for me is I do my research, and I almost interviewed William Howard Taft today. Thank goodness I went a little beyond Facebook.
He's a little dead.
It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. He writes good songs. Here's something I realized back to the Brooklyn and back to New York. You all have facial hair. So that must make you immediately that much more of an official New York band now.
I suppose so. I
never ask questions like that one, but I had to do a TMZ question.
No, it's funny because we were living in Philly before and everyone in Philly has beards also, but they're down to like their mid-chest level. I actually read this article about, like, you know, we would think we do it for the ladies, it makes us look better, but girls don't actually care whether or not men have facial hair, but it intimidates other men. and we're very small statured people. And, you know, we have to take any little physical intimidation tactics we can get a hold of.
Hence the facial hair.
Facial hair. It's really just to scare off other competitors.
So every band, when they start out, they think about who they want to be when they grow up. Or they don't at all, and then they figure it out. So I'm going to read you a quote from, well, somebody's webpage that might have the following letters in it. I'll go in a different order. It might have an R, a P, and an N in it.
Okay.
It might. Piano-centric pop trio.
Yeah.
Piano-centric. That's an interesting, I haven't heard that one before. So when people go through that and they're like, well, let's see, it's only three guys, it's a trio, and it's piano-centric, and wait a minute, where's the synthesizer, and where's the thrashing bass player, and where's all, you know, what do you say? Have you ever succumbed to the fact that maybe you need to have another six people and become a collective, like Broken Social Scene or something?
We're not opposed to the idea, but we just don't care for bass players.
Yeah, I noticed that. So what happens? I mean, how do you have any damn bottom in your records?
Well, I mean, the truth of it is that, you know, when we play live, we really depend on a sound guy who knows what he's doing.
Who just whoops up the basses. So those low notes on the piano, they really, I'm a keyboard guy, so they really rattle, huh?
My left hand is always tired at the end of the day just from doing alternating octaves or just pounding at it.
Excuse me? That was, you want to take that back?
Pounding at it?
Alternating octaves and pounding. You sure you don't want to take that back?
I'm happy.
Okay. Is this band, after three albums, finally making enough money to do it full time?
You would be amazed that we've been doing it full time for 4 years now.
We've just managed to live on a Taco Bell beginning salary for 4 years now, so we're getting pretty good at it.
So you're used to it.
And it's always been that, like, as things get better, you know, financially, touring-wise, it's always right on the cusp of what we're willing to put up with. So, you know, we're right out of college and we'll live on nothing and be totally broke and live in a crap house.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. It is two of your songs is the bread, and then songs by anybody else you want to play in between.